Hello.
Hi.
Hey, is your wireless working again?
No, I'm still plugged in.
Oh, you know, I figured.
I haven't tried it again, so.
Oh, just gave up on it.
Yeah, it's just a pain because every time I log into Skype, it does some sort of update. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. What's going on?
I'm sick.
You sound a little under the weather.
Yeah, I started feeling like I was getting a cold on Friday, and yesterday I just kept going, and today's the worst of the 3 days so
Wow.
far. Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, not fun.
Did you get it from your kids?
No, nobody else is sick in the house.
Oh.
So I don't know where I got it from.
Maybe at work you were licking the doorknob or something.
I don't do that. I lick everyone else's mouses. Do you think that
Yeah,
would
it could do that. Yeah, it could be the
Never had a problem
mice.
before. But, whatever.
So you're shopping at Atomic Avenue lately, huh?
Oh my gosh, I'm shopping like crazy.
Yeah? You like their prices or what? What is the
It all
draw?
depends. I saw those issues. Marvel Fanfare 10, 11, and 12.
Yeah.
And I have a desk calendar at work, a Marvel desk calendar.
Yeah.
So like sometimes it gives like a little like a maybe a quiz or some information. Sometimes it shows just a character, and sometimes it shows a cover. And this past week it showed Marvel Fanfare 12, which is a George Perez Black Widow cover where she's like in the sewers and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, "Oh my God, that cover's awesome." So I looked it up and like I looked online, and I mean, like on eBay, I was looking, and people wanted like, like $30
Yeah.
for the three, or even $40. So I went on Atomic Avenue, and somebody had them for $2 each. So I'm like, okay, I'll just get them there. I mean, I had to pay $7 in shipping, but it's still cheaper.
Yeah.
But you know what I didn't realize is that the story continues into 13, and so I never picked up 13. So now I'm going to have to end up finding 13 or see if it's on the app.
Yeah, I like 13's cover because it's got Black Widow's image in the visor of that character.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it? I
Yeah.
wish I would have checked that a little more carefully. For some reason, whatever I looked at originally was only showing me 10, 11, and 12, and so I didn't realize it
So you don't
continued
have the
to
rest
13.
of Fanfare, I take it?
No, I have those three issues and then a random issue, which is like issue 34 that I bought off the newsstand for whatever reason, and that's it. I don't have anything else.
I need number 2, and then I need 44 through 60.
And it ended at 60, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I had all the rest. Those ones I was buying off the shelf 'cause that's like right when I started to go to the comic shop, and this was like a direct to comic shop. They didn't sell this on the newsstand.
Oh,
So
yeah, right, exactly, yeah.
I was like blown away 'cause the paper was different. There were stories that I've never seen before. It was one of the first Marvel books I picked up at the shop.
It was weird to me. I didn't know what to make of it because it was just so unusual stories.
Yeah.
And because the price was higher than regular comics, and I only had so much money, that was an easy one not to pick up. So like I sampled one, but that was it.
Yeah, mine it was cur I was curious more
Yeah.
than anything. And back then, it wasn't a lot too much if I mowed a lot of lawn, so it wasn't. I was still in the ballpark of being able to afford what I wanted.
They've got some good creators here that they had do stories.
Yeah, I thought I had a full run of this too. Now I'm pretty shocked I don't.
Yeah, you're gonna have to pick up
And
those later
some of
ones.
them have Steve Gerber writing like 57 through 6, 57 through 59.
Oh yeah,
And
I
I
see that.
really like Steve Gerber. And it's got Sheena.
I was
Maybe
gonna
he's
say it looks
writing
like a
as Sheena.
Sheena story. Yeah, three
Yeah,
issues.
I'm a sucker for the Jungle Girls.
Well, those are
Yep.
great covers too.
Yeah. Gonna have to jump in on that.
Yeah.
I got a whole bunch of Avengers, so I'm working on that run, and then I'm gonna start a Fantastic Four run from Reed too. So I'm
Oh.
sending him my list essentially and saying, here's what I'm missing, and he fills what he has. So,
That's awesome.
yeah.
So Fantastic Four is next, huh?
What's next on the queue?
And what do you have in terms of Fantastic Four now? Like what ranges do you still have to pick up?
I have a few keys, but 'cause back in the day, like I'm a huge fan of the Inhumans, so I have a lot of their stuff. A lot of people don't like the Inhumans, so I get mad when people say, "Who wants these characters?" I'm like, "I do, you bastards!" Matter of fact, I bought a Medusa Marvel Legends figure just recently. She was
Nice.
exclusive to Walgreens.
Walgreens, huh?
I never look at the toys at Walgreens, but I was there for some like allergy medication, and I was like, "Oh, they have Medusa."
Yeah, that's a weird store to have an exclusive for. A
Yeah,
pharmacy.
one of the guys that actually my technical lead at work is a huge Marvel fan. Like he knows all the Marvel stuff. Like he read it back in the day, and now he's Marvel Unlimited. But he used to have comics and then got rid of them. But he comes into my office and he's always like, "Man, I'm always in shock of all the obscure Marvel characters you have around." He's just like Medusa and Gwenpool and yeah, it's like, yeah, I tend to navigate to the characters that there aren't 1,000 different versions of them, you know?
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's cool. What else did I? Oh, I had mentioned I got a whole run of Supreme on eBay except for issue 39.
Yeah, that was really good. Did that include Supreme Blue Rose?
No, it did not.
Ah.
It had a lot of those side
Yeah,
issues, the
you
small
actually
ones.
got some of the holes that I need. I still need to fill a few of the main title, and I think there's like one or two of the minis I still need to fill.
Know, the only one that I was a little bit disappointed with just because I thought it was an even better deal than what it really ended up being is that what is it? Issue. Oh, I'm looking it up. Issue 41, is the first Alan Moore
Alan
issue.
Moore, yeah.
It's in there, but it's the second print.
Ah.
So that's. I'm like, oh my God! Well, if it includes 41, that's like on Atomic eBay. It was like, or yeah, Atomic eBay, Atomic Avenue. It was like people wanted like $40 for that by itself. So I'm
Yeah,
like, oh my God, that's fantastic! No, it's the second printing.
that's the one that the Alan Moore ones of that series are the hardest ones to track.
Yeah.
The rest of them you can probably get pretty
Yeah, so I was
cheap.
happy everything else was in there, but it would have been even better if that was a first print.
Yeah, but Supreme Blue Rose is Warren Ellis and Tulu Lutey, so
Yeah, I
that's a
want to get
big,
that too. I got
yeah.
a lot of this to read still. So that's like
Yeah,
what,
I
60
actually
issues?
met her at the convention, Tulu Lutey.
You had a head sketch done.
Yeah, I did.
Whose
Yeah.
head?
Is it? No, it's just she draws whatever, you
Oh,
know.
okay.
She's got like her scare characters. She just draws women, basically,
You
head
should have
sketches.
had her draw Barb's head.
Barb, here's Barb. Draw Barb's head. Yeah, I
Right,
could have
Barb
done
stands still.
that.
And
Yeah.
the only other pickup that I had was what's the first Iron Fist? It's in Marvel Premiere or something or
Marvel Premiere 15 or
other.
something like that. I don't
Yeah,
remember.
I got a good deal from your friend Aaron.
Yeah. I
So
picked up a few from him. I got the first drug issue of Amazing Spider-Man. I
I
always wanted
saw
that one.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
The
cool.
non-comics code one. And
What was he doing? Was he
oh,
doing
the first appearance of
LSD?
Shocker. I haven't read it yet.
Oh, I think that's what it was, though. I can't remember.
It's around the same time that Neil Adams and Dennis O'Neill did the Roy Harper drug issue too. You know,
Right.
they were almost like they were very near each other.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, and I think it's because like government agencies and people were reaching out to Stan saying, "Can you do an anti-drug issue?" And then there were all the comics codes, and he says, "Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it, true believer, and we'll just leave the comics code off."
Yeah, I mean, it's it also shows how kind of silly it was. It's like no depictions of drugs, so it can't go through the comics code, and yet it's showing a serious portrayal of not doing drugs. You
Yeah.
shouldn't, you know what I mean? I mean, that's the whole point. I can't believe the comics code lasted as long as it did.
Yeah. And that's why they had like Morbius the Living Vampire, 'cause they couldn't have the dead it, they
Right.
couldn't have dead characters like zombies and stuff.
Yeah.
That's why the characters that you did see, like Simon Garth zombie, was in magazine format, 'cause
Yeah.
they weren't limited to the comics code, and you had Tomb of Dracula over there too.
And what was the Marvel was ca was calling them so like zombies something, so they didn't have to say zombie. It was like there was a V in the word. It was like Zumbini or something. It was Zumbini. I can't remember what it
I don't
was.
remember
It's
that.
yeah, there was a couple of them that it was like they just changed the name or whatever. So they said no, these aren't zombies. But I mean,
Yeah.
basically zombies.
Well,
I'm gonna have to look that up.
they like looked at the rules, and then they said, "How could we tweak the rule to?" And then they had to do it in the stories too, because the comics code had proofreaders that would read the stories. They would
Right.
see if you had anything that was not legit.
This is such a weird thing that lasted a really long time.
Yeah, the Bronze Age.
Yeah.
And then they cut loose when they loosened that stuff up, and they came out with all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it was the Living Mummy too.
Yeah, it
Like
might be.
supernatural thrillers. Like I just completed that run recently, 'cause I've been into the Marvel monsters, and they got around a lot of the different codes that way.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I don't know if you
Do
saw, but
you have the Morbius first appearance in Amazing?
no, I don't. Was that
Man,
101?
I wish I had it. It's only going to go higher now because of the movie.
Yeah. No, I have I don't have much. I have 200 and up. Well, actually 201 and up, but then I'm a hit or miss. I have a fairly good number from, like the 180s up, but then after that,
Yeah.
it's very hit or miss for me. But I
Yeah,
have
I've
a lot
been.
of keys, but not that one.
You have the Punisher, though.
I do have the Punisher, yeah.
Yeah, I'm jealous of that one. I don't have that.
Yeah. That was, yeah, that was a good one. I mean, that I got that quite a few years ago. Like I'm
Yeah.
talking maybe 20 years ago.
Well, that's a good time to get
yeah. Because it was still,
it. I
I mean,
wish
it's
I
still a
would have
key
gotten it
issue, but
20,
it
20 years
wasn't,
ago.
it was a couple $100, you
That
know?
was before the movies and the TV show.
Yeah.
I can't remember when the first movie came out. That might have been around the Dolph Lundgren time. That was the first Punisher.
Yeah, I think that was in the 80s, though, during Rocky and stuff, right? When he was in Rocky?
It was closely after I think he was in Rocky, like maybe
Yeah.
6 years, 7 years after Rocky.
Okay, yeah.
It wasn't a bad movie. Like there's some good scenes in that movie. They just refused to have him wear the skull on his chest. It was at a time where Hollywood was cautious about tights. Like even when they released the X-Men, they put them all in leather. Do you know what I mean? They were so they were still, hey, maybe we can't convince the larger audience to go see people in tights. So they were more cautious.
Yeah. Now there doesn't seem to be
I think
any
it's the only
stigma on that.
Punisher movie I don't own, but
I've never seen it.
I've seen it a couple times on VHS.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not bad if you ever see it streaming somewhere. It's worth watching, I think.
Maybe they'll have that on the Disney app.
I doubt it.
I know. I don't think it's a Disney movie. But who
I
knows?
think it's a Fox, but now they own it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I was thinking, like, DC Universe has the Aquaman pilot or whatever on there. Maybe they throw up some of
Do they
that
have
stuff
the
on the
Wonder
50.
Woman pilot?
Huh?
I haven't checked to see if
No,
they
I
have
don't
the
think they
Wonder.
do now that you say that.
Yeah, I almost bought a bootleg this at the con just because I went to a panel where the Martian granddaughter was there.
Oh,
I
hey, did
talked
you see I
to
watched
her
that
a little.
yesterday?
Yeah, I loved
Uh-huh.
it. I love
Yeah, it
that
was
movie. A
good.
matter of fact, I gotta buy it.
Yeah, it's pretty
I
good.
keep meaning to buy it. I love the movie. Now, whether what how much of it's true or not, I tried to ask, questions after the panel, and I didn't really get any finite like answers, like why they didn't like the movie,
Oh, really? Yeah, they
But
didn't like the movie, though, huh? They did not.
no, the family didn't approve of it, but I don't know if it was because of the sex stuff or if it was because I think the family still to this day deny that he
They had a
had kids with
relationship?
both families, but
Huh.
I think if they did DNA testing, they would approve that shit.
Well,
Like,
yeah, but
well,
it
I think it has to do with like, you know how sometimes families don't want to put out their dirty laundry,
Sure.
like, and I don't blame them for doing that, but I think investigation, like when they start to investigate stuff, they find out, the truth.
Well,
And
I
they're like,
read the actual book. Like, there was a book that was written
yeah, they were
a
talking
few years
about
ago.
that too. She
It
didn't
was,
like it either.
they didn't like that either.
Yeah.
It was very, I mean, it was been quite a few years since I've read the book, but from what I can remember, they're very similar. And
Yeah.
the book was like heavily researched, so it wasn't like they were just she was
Oh,
coming up with
they
stuff
pulled
left and right
stuff
for the book.
right from the they in other words, the Marston family handed over a lot of stuff for that book.
Yeah, that was a good book. It was very interesting.
Yeah.
He had some unusual, like idea, like combination of ideas,
Did you
where.
watch that movie with Stacy or no? What'd she think? Was it weird?
She thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, she wasn't like she's not invested in the comic book
I
side,
don't
but
think
she thought it
they
was
portrayed the
interesting.
women bad, though. They were both intelligent women portrayed in the film. Do you know
Well,
what I mean?
I thought that it was very sympathetic light that they honestly portrayed all of them, and I thought it was very. I didn't feel like they were putting any of those three people down. It was like this was an unusual relationship, non-conformist relationship, and but they, I don't know.
There
I
were
don't know if you feel the
highly
same or not,
educated
but.
individuals, all of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like they were very sympathetic. The movie was sympathetic to them. I didn't
I
get the
felt
feeling
that
like
way
it was
too.
nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but I thought it was very interesting though. Here, you ready? Zuvembi, Zuvembie. It's a creature used by Robert E. Howard for his short story "Pigeons from Hell" in 1938. In the 1970s, Marvel Comics used the term in place of zombie, which had been banned by the Comics Code Authority.
What did they use it in, though?
I don't know. It doesn't say. It just says in general that they
Z
used it.
Z U M
Zuv, as in
Z U
Victor.
V.
EMBIE.
That's weird.
Uh-huh. I
I'd have
remember
to
seeing
look
it
at what
before.
that is, yeah.
Yeah. That's funny.
I do like that Simon Garth. I read the entire zombie comic book with Simon Garth in essential format. Like they printed out an essential for it.
Oh, cool.
And it was pretty awesome. Like I really dug it.
I know of that character, but I've never read anything.
Yeah. He's appeared recently. He had the one shot, Marvel
Yeah.
Zombies or something like that, Marvel Zombie.
I think I read that. I think I might have
Yeah.
picked that one up.
Yeah. Did you decide to this is not retro at all, but whereas the Marston stuff I think sort of is. I got to meet the granddaughters of DC. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Athena Finger, the Marston granddaughter, and the I forget what the major whatever the one that founded DC before he got kicked out, kind of like Jim Shooter-ish, but
Oh yeah, uh-huh.
I met her as well, so it was pretty awesome to see, the legacies. And the one of the most interesting things, except for the Marston granddaughter, the other two really didn't know their grandfathers until way late in life, One of them, through the documentary, if that research didn't link them together, she would have never even known,
The Bill Finger one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Did you see the documentary? Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was
And
really good.
then same thing with the major's granddaughter. Reese, I think it was when she was older, like she found out her father, who she didn't even know her father, gave her a shoebox of information about her grandfather. So she started doing research. She wrote a book too, called Before Superman. I own it up. I have it. I started actually reading it when
Wow.
I got back.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I like that type of material. So, I mean, the Bill Finger documentary was awesome. And I don't know as much about, the other situations, but like you
Yeah.
said, the Marston thing was a pretty straight line in terms of they knew who they were.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's cool.
They knew who there were, but there were hints in the movie, at least, of them like trying to hide situations from the public because they were afraid if it got out, their kids would be bugged about it. You know what I
Oh
mean?
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean it, I mean you're talking this is in the 40s. I mean that'd be shocking today.
Yeah.
If you knew your neighbor next door was, some guy was living with two was married to one woman and there was another woman there and they all had kids together. Like
Yeah.
that would be the talk of the
In the
town
movie,
today.
didn't they have a scene where
Yeah, I know what you're gonna
I was
say.
laughing a scene where the neighbor actually was coming to bring something like pie or something, and they
Yeah.
walked in the door and then saw what was going on in the bedroom.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think they were even in their living room or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, what's her name? Olive was tying up or was it the wife tying up the other two together. And
Yeah.
she comes walking in with a welcoming pie or
Yeah,
something like
welcoming
that.
pie. Oops.
That was it. I don't know if
Yeah.
that really ever happened in real life. That was probably more for dramatic purposes, but
Sure.
that it was just it's interesting. His ideas were interesting in that he literally, like, if you read the book, like it really goes in even further that he really believed that that females were the superior sex.
Yeah.
And but then at the same time he has all the kind of like kinky ideas as well, which is, I mean, you think it might be more one or
But
the other, but it's yeah, he both of those.
he thought that, but he was also into bondage both ways, I thought.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Like he would be bound too.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's how Wonder Woman's weakness early on in the Golden Age was bondage.
Right. Yeah. All the Amazons.
And then I find it fascinating is they're the inventors of the lie detector test, and there's the golden lasso. You know
Isn't
what I mean? It's
that
like,
amazing? Yes.
So it is amazing to, if you ever get the chance, I don't know if you ever buy the Golden Age Wonder Woman, but to watch that movie and then just start reading some Golden Age Wonder Woman and see like just these things,
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
The only ones that I've read are she had that, what was it, the 75-year
Yeah.
hardcover or whatever. So I have that. So I've read those. So there's a handful at the beginning, like
Yeah.
the Wonder Woman for President issues in there, and some
Yeah.
of the other ones were like, yeah, Etta Candy's being like bent over and spanked and stuff like that. And yeah.
Did you get your previews yet?
Yep.
I can't believe how many good things there are in like the collected editions. Holy cow. They've had like some months where it's just like one or two things plus the Epic collection, and this one is just insane.
It's gonna it's this is gonna hurt, I'm telling you.
Well, it's got the Aquaman
DC
Silver
alone
Age.
has
Yeah,
like five that I want.
well, there's the Aquaman Silver Age Omnibus I need to have. The
Yep.
Batman Golden Age Omnibus Volume 8 I need to have. I have.
Yep. I got all the other
Well,
ones.
the thing with these things is they're probably never going to be reprinted again.
Exactly.
Batman Volume 1 and 2, they may be reprinted again, but the future volumes, I doubt it. You
No,
know what I mean? They're going to be short.
I'm impressed that they're even up to eight and
Well,
they
that's
still
what's
solicit.
amazing. I think they've gone past the archive.
Yeah, I would believe that.
Yeah, so I think they're going beyond that. So those are like must gets. And then there's the Crisis on Infinite Earths Companion Volume 3,
Oh
which
yeah.
I have the other two volumes and Crisis, so I got to get that. And then there's the Doom Patrol by John Byrne.
I was thinking to that, Mike, but I only own issue one and two. I looked on the app, and only issue one or two were on the app. I really didn't care for the beginning of it. I wanted to read a good five issues or something, make a decision,
Yeah.
but I can't read past two. I don't have any way to read past two.
I liked it. It's not as good as the other stuff, but I if you have this and like I bought the Golden Age Doom Patrol, the Silver Age Doom Patrol, the Grant Morrison Omnibus. It's almost like you have everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you want to be a completist, yeah, there's going to be a few runs of Doom Patrol, like the Akuti and stuff. They just won't reprint, but well, they might because of the TV show. Who knows?
Right.
But that's why I need to get that. And then there's the House of Mystery, the Bronze Age Omnibus
Yeah,
Volume 2.
I'm in on that one too.
God dang it, the Jonah Hex, the Bronze Age. Like that'll
Oh,
never.
that one, I'm in
That
on that one too.
one will never be reprinted.
No.
I can guarantee that the House of Mystery and the Jonah Hex will never be reprinted.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless
It's
there's
amazing to me
something.
that they're even making these. I mean, it's
Yeah.
very
Well, they might
unusual for those
not. The
types of
only thing
stories.
to be wary of, I think, especially on the Jonah Hex, is the on sale date. Did you see how far in the future it is?
No, I didn't. I didn't notice. What is this?
May 6th of 2020.
Oh, jeez.
That's almost a year away. Like
Yeah.
advanced solicit, talk about that. So you but that is like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six of them
Yep.
that are like insane. And then on the Marvel one,
I'm thinking of getting the Booster Gold hardcover too.
Wasn't that in the last one though?
Oh, was it? You know what? I might be misremembering then. Yeah, I
Yeah.
think you're right. It was the last one.
The Marvel side, the one that struck me is like that I want to get is the if I can find it. Well, I missed out the first time on the Annihilation, and I love that. I would love to have that in omnibus format.
Yeah, I've never read it and I've always wanted
And then there's Conan Volume 3.
to.
There's The Incredible Hulk Peter David Volume 1.
I
Anything that I could say on that one is I know that The Incredible Hulk will, that they've already started it in the Epic. So, like, I will have that anyway, so.
Yeah.
The Annihilation, I don't think it'll be in an Epic collection, so I might as well jump on that one.
I was thinking about the Hulk one, but it's like I don't know. I've got the issues, or at least most of. I might not have the whole run, but I have a lot of the issues. But then I looked, and it's also on the app. His entire run is on the app.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, maybe I'll just read it that way and save some money. But
See, there's some
haven't
logic
decided.
right there.
I'm more like that on the Marvel side, where I don't. For whatever reason, I don't know what it is, I'm more apt to get the collected editions on the DC
Yeah.
side than I am on Marvel.
And there's some people that say, like, I don't like to read the omnibuses because they're so wieldy, they're so heavy. But I like it. I don't know why it is. There's just something about it that I really dig.
Yeah, it doesn't, no, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I like I said, I just sit in my recliner. I put a pillow on my lap and just prop it up on the pillow. It's nice and comfortable.
All right. Well, do you want to cover what you read
Yeah,
or watched?
I can do one. I'm just trying to think if there's something else I was going to ask you, but I don't think there is.
Are you gonna get in on that Absolute Carnage?
No.
Okay.
Are you? They do
I
too many
am.
tie-ins for me. For me to like it.
I'm not doing the tie-ins. I'm just gonna do the main series
Yeah.
because it's Donny Cates and Stegman. So, just gonna
Oh,
do the main
I know what I
series
wanted
and
to ask you, though.
the rest of them I'm gonna read on the app. Do you know what I
Okay.
mean? Like if I
Yeah.
enjoy the series, I could go back and read the tie-ins on the app.
That's kind of what I was thinking, just in general, is that I'll just end up reading it on the app. I guess I don't have as much invested in the like I can pick and choose on Marvel a lot easier, where and then decide to read other things on the app.
Yeah.
And for DC, at least since Rebirth, I'm wanna actually get
I
most of
think
the
the thing
stuff.
that just pushes me over, like potentially, is if there's going to be a first appearance of something, it's probably going to be in the main title because Donny Cates tends to do a lot of new characters. And I was like, I can't miss out on a new character. Like, I lucked out with the Marvel Presents because it's the first appearance of Wolverine's daughter.
I asked you, what that first appearance was. I didn't know that. I haven't read it yet,
Yeah.
so I wasn't aware.
Do you have it? Did you get it?
Yeah, I collect that one.
Oh, good deal.
Yeah.
It's like $60 in the first week it came out. That's
There's no way
insane.
that that's going to hold its price. Well, I guess it depends on
Well,
what they do with
depends on what
the
they do with the
character.
character. If it's another Gwenpool, it'll hold it.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
You know what I wanted to ask you though before we got started is that I know you talked about even on the podcast you talked about pulling back. Is that still your plan? Are you still trying to ease your spending
Yes,
backwards?
yes. I'm
Yeah.
trying to use logic like you are, but I'm gonna make an exception for the omnibuses 'cause like you said on the DC side, they really did a bad thing. A disservice to hardcover collectors because they've had a drought, in my opinion, in the last 3 months or
Yes, they
four
have.
months. And then to put five things in 1 month, I mean, yeah, they're not all coming out at the same time, but you're
You're
having to pay
buying it at
for
the
them
same
at the
time.
same time. Yeah.
But you know what they're thinking too. I mean, well, not that they're thinking one way or the other, but if you're ordering from your comic shop, it's
Yeah.
possible you're not paying for any of that stuff until you actually receive it. So that could be a spread then, as opposed to DCBS where you pay for everything up front.
Well, I think if you're a comic shop, you're not going to order it.
See,
Because, well,
if I went to my comic shop with all that stuff, they wouldn't make me pay for it in advance, but I've been there for like over 30 years.
yeah, but what I think most comic shop, does your comic shop actually sell Batman the Golden Age omnibus? They have them all on the shelf.
If they might order one. I've seen
No,
stuff like that.
I'm just curious
Yeah,
because to
I've
me,
seen stuff like
I could
that. So
see
yeah,
them holding
they have
issue.
one or two
Yeah, I
of
can
like
see
some
them
of the
doing like volume one
Yeah.
and taking the hit on it, thinking they can sell it, but I don't think they're going to have all the volumes like that.
No, I agree with you. I
And
agree
then
with you.
I think the majority of comic fans don't buy books from LCS because they know that they have things like DCBS and Amazon, like at least Amazon, and say, well, I could get it
Yeah.
30% off that cover.
Yeah.
Why pay full price? And Amazon will ship it to you like within 3 days. So
Well,
it's
you're
not like you
right.
got to say, I'm going to have it right now. Do you
That's
know what I
very true
mean?
because if you, I mean, I don't know how your comic shop is, but if I did buy them, even though I wouldn't have to pay until I got it, I mean, maybe they're giving me 10% off. That's
Yeah.
it. You know, so you're not getting a huge deal on these very pricey items.
Well, like even the guy that works at our comic shop, he was trying to tell the owner, you have these stuff, your hardcovers you buy, and you're not selling them because you're not discounting them. He says you need to discount them because people aren't stupid. You know, they're not going to want to pay full retail on these books.
What
And
what does
he's
the
not
owner
moving
say?
them. He just lets them stockpile.
Oh, how is that helping him?
It isn't.
And I'd be interested to know what he's paying
Oh,
for
he's
them.
paying. They pay about 50% off or less. Because I guess it all depends on what you order, right?
I would guess
You
so.
know that DCBS gets more than 50% because
Because
if
they're
you
selling
buy,
it to us.
they sell it to us for 50%. So they get 30, you know, they probably, but they probably make like $20 a book. But that's more than they'd make on a comic book.
Right, and they're making it up on volume because of they have so many people on the subscription. Wow, yeah, that's true. Good point. I don't know, but yeah. So I was just interested to see if you're going to continue to plan for that or
Yeah,
not. Because
I did.
it's tough. It's tough to do. Like,
Yeah, it is.
how do you decide what you don't want to actually buy anymore?
Well, for me, the first cut was pretty easy. Like, I dropped it over $500 because I took off a lot of the collected editions. And then I said, no more variants.
Yeah, the variants
So
are,
the
once you
variants.
can get past, okay, I'm not buying every variant, then that's an easy cut.
Yeah.
You have to
Well,
just
it wasn't
be
easy.
okay with
I'll be
that.
honest with you. The hardest one to do was the Red Sonja, 'cause I love that the way that character looks and is drawn on the cover, and it to cut down to one cover is like, God, it was brutal. Like I started sweating. I had cold sweats. I'd wake up in the middle of the night saying, "Oh, I'm gonna miss all these Red Sonja covers. I can't take it." But I did it. I mean, and then I kind of used that logic that you were talking about, like the Peter David stuff I can read, and plus I decided to stick with the Epic collections, so I know that's gonna make it. Do you know what I mean? Because they've already started doing some Peter David epics, so I know it's gonna continue. They might not have the first volume there, but I think they have a few of them already. So even though I love that format, that's 50, $60 right there. Do you know what I mean? $65.
Yes,
So
absolutely.
if you add those up, it's a lot. And then what I did is I made a list. In other words, I said, God, this is the list of stuff I want, but could I wait until it becomes digital? You know, like, or if I needed to read it for like Geek Brunch, could I read it digitally? Could I just do that? So there was like image number ones that I was skipping. There was some that I absolutely adored that I had to get, but there was a lot of stuff that I said, oh, I can wait. Like, I really like Gwenpool, but I was like, you know, I can wait until that's on the Marvel app. Half the time I'm reading it anyway, I'm reading it digitally.
I know,
So.
but for both of us, that's not really the point. Like whether or not you're getting it digitally or not,
Yeah.
you want to have it so you
Yeah,
can
and
say you
that
own
happened to me at the con. Me and Bill were
it.
just talking about it because I was trying to do something logical. Like, there was this book that Bill bought, and I read it the night of because we were staying in the same room, and I read it and I loved it. I was like, this is just weird shit. This is like trauma with street trash movie in it and stuff, like stuff that I liked to go to the video store for when I was in the, you know, 80s. And I had to buy it. Even though I had read the whole thing, you know, Barb was telling me, Mike, you read the whole thing. What, are you going to read it again? And I'm like, no, but I had to buy it because I just liked it so much. You know, it was something that I just dug a lot. And the next day on Sunday, I went to go buy them. I cleaned the house. I bought all the derelicts. And the other side, which is about a bunch of prostitutes in the same world, he does it in continuity too. And they were awesome. I
Well,
liked them.
that's what. So, what does Barb think when what do you think she's thinking when she
She
says
know
you've already read these?
she knows that I'm logical about everything except for
Except, yeah,
comics. Yeah, she knows that I have no logic at
yeah.
all.
Now, did you ever consider saying, like, putting your list out
Oh wow,
and
give me a
printing it
camera.
out and, huh?
Oh, I need to get a picture of this. The squirrel. Oh no, he took off. The squirrel and Harley were like right next to each other, like within 12 inches of each
Oh
other.
my God.
And the squirrel was just laying looking at her. And I was like, I
So,
just wanted a picture of it.
have you ever, did you ever consider saying, okay, Barb, these are all the comic books that I'm collecting. These are all the series that I'm getting. I need to get down to this much money. Go ahead and pick which ones to take off my list.
No.
That, would that be a nightmare?
Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
like I decided to stay in all of DC. Like that's a done deal.
Yeah.
But there's books that I don't care for. Like I just caught up on Justice League Odyssey, and I really am not feeling that book because, yes, it's filling in part of the hole of like the no justice stuff. Like here's what happened to those containers that Brainiac released,
Yeah.
and it's following that story. But when I can, if I can summarize 10 issues in one sentence, I just don't feel it's added much, you know?
I think
Like
it's gotten better, but I totally agree with you.
I still can,
100%.
like I really didn't notice a difference between Abnett taking over. I think the art has improved dramatically with like Will Conrad and stuff. Like I think the art is like they have like three artists that look sort of similar, and
Yeah.
I think it looks awesome. Like the way they draw Starfire, and I like some of the panel layouts more because they're not as generic. They're big and they're large and they look awesome. But how the hell does Azrael's cult get out there into space? I have no idea. There's like I can see the Temarians, like that race because the whole planet's there. But how did this like cult of Azrael get up there?
Yeah, I have no idea.
What is the character's name? Like Rapture,
Yeah, Rapture.
and then he they have several followers of the Order of Saint Dumas. How did all those motherfuckers get into space?
Yeah, and right.
I'm like, how the hell's that happening?
No, I mean, I think that that's it's the weakest of those titles for sure. I mean,
I like.
enjoying reading it okay, but it's not some like if it's something that ended up going away, I
Yeah.
wouldn't miss it.
Right. I like the dark side stuff. Like I like the fact there's this shade of gray in all the series. Like I don't know if you felt it, but if you're reading all of them, especially if you read them in like one shot, you see like these inner weaving threads, and there's this whole shade of gray of like, did the Justice League do right by destroying the Source Wall? Like, there's this whole totality thing, or did they do more damage? And do I need to be rooting for Darkseid, who's trying to bring back Apocalypse? To, you almost don't know if it's right or wrong. Do you know what I
No, you
mean?
don't. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very strange, and that part. The part with the New Genesis and Apocalypse stuff, I like. Okay, but that's few and far between. I think they're spending too much time with, I don't know, characters that don't resonate with me as much. Even though I loved Azrael, I love him more as a street character. And then Starfire, I liked more as a Titan. And I even liked her more as an outlaw. Cyborg also have the same problem. He's He's had his moments in Justice League, you know, with the boom tube stuff, and I like what they've done with him sometimes in the his solo book.
Yeah.
But I'm just not feeling those two as being deities in space. And then
No,
Jessica
I
Cruz
agree.
is kind of there. It's weird that the two characters that seem to know what's going on are Blackfire and Jessica Cruz. I just find it like they're the ones that are questioning things.
I think that Jessica Cruz is coming off as the best out of the whole
I
Batverse.
agree. I am seeing growth in the character for the first time.
Yeah.
But I think it's growth because she's realizing that these people are idiots. Like they have their blinders on. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, that's a lot of in-depth of Justice Society or Justice League Odyssey, but I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, it's. I mean, yeah, I agree with you though. I at some point, if they keep just doing the if DCBS keeps just doing the full bundle where they're adding every single thing in there,
Yeah.
even like the facsimiles, and I don't even know if they're gonna do the these dollar books that I already own or what. But at some point, I'm gonna have to sit down and figure out, okay, do I still want all of these?
Am I
And
saving
if
money
not,
doing this,
right,
or
yes,
yeah, or
yeah,
could
or
I
do I start
save
buying them
money? Yeah,
individually?
I gotcha.
But right now, I mean, there's very few of the regular series that I would say, well, I just don't want to buy anymore. So I know that it's still worth it to get
Well,
the
that's
bundle,
because I
but.
think of the two companies, in talking about the big two, DC's more controlled. And what I mean about that is controlled in volume. Like, they don't go out of control like Marvel.
Oh.
It's like this growth pattern that I just see, that they just want to attack the industry with so much material, they'll flush out the other material. You know what I mean?
Well, we just talked about it, even with the Absolute Carnage, and before that, it was War of the Realms. They don't just do one event; they do several. I mean, talking maybe even six side series that go along with them, and yeah, it just floods. It floods the new the not the newsstands. It
Yeah.
floods the racks with just all this Marvel product coming out every single week.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But
it's just.
I don't keep caught up, but I will say of all the stuff that I've been bulk reading, Justice League Odyssey for me is the one title that I'm just like, I'm hit or miss with it. Like there's some global concepts in there, and there was some Will Conrad art that I just adored. Like I just said, oh wow, that looks awesome. But I don't know, I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like Justice League Dark, I think is amazing.
Oh, it's fantastic.
But they're playing in the thing that he's doing really well is he's throwing in everything in magic. Like you see some Eye of Vampire, you see Sargon the Sorcerer, you see the Ruby, you see all Zatara, you see everything, and it's amazing.
It's my favorite Justice League book, actually, right now. Yeah.
I would agree with you. Even
Yeah,
though I
very.
am enjoying Justice League, I would
So am
say
I. But yeah,
there's
I think
so
Dark is
much
better.
material. Every issue in that particular one, I feel like every issue delivers something like that I love. And it all started with one. Like it was building on this witching hour and it just keeps building about them trying to get rid of magic, you know, like Dr. Fate.
Yeah.
And I like the way it tied in the new 52 Dr. Fate, and I don't know, it pays respect to the past while building on the future. And
Yeah.
I like stuff that do that.
Tinian's doing a great job.
Yeah.
I mean, I love his when he does his villain spotlight issues in the regular Justice League too. I mean,
Yeah.
just really, really well done.
Yeah, I like them too. They're
Yeah.
and plus they're beefy. I don't know if
Yeah.
you've noticed this, but they don't take some of those other issues take like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I
These
agree.
ones have some meat.
Yeah, you're
Yeah.
absolutely right.
I enjoy it.
I do too. All right. Well,
All
I
right.
guess should we talk about some comic books that are actually older?
10 years older, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's do this. So, to make up for our recent comic book talk, I'll make up for it by talking about a comic book that's 70 years old. And that is
Ah.
The Marvel Family number 33.
Oh, nice.
A Fawcett publication. This is one of the a Golden Age book from 1949, and it's got a handful of stories in here. And I read these this morning, Mike. Just very, very. I was in the perfect mood for these. Just something, a bunch of, a combination of stories, very
Yeah.
light-hearted and stuff, and just a lot of fun to read.
Isn't it like when you're in the mood, you can feel it, right? It's just like clicking. I love it when it does that. It's like you just want it. It's just like you're in the perfect mood for that type of material.
It was perfect for me for this morning,
Oh,
because
that I don't know if you know, but I bought my first Golden Age mini comic
I
from
saw
Aaron.
what was it though? I
Bullet
forgot what you
Man.
bought. Bullet Man, yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't even know what it was when I pulled the trigger on it. And then it came in and I was like, I need to find out more about how this thing was published. So I went to the Facebook page on the Golden Age page, which I there's two pages I follow a lot, like Aaron Myers's page and the Golden Age one, because I love the Golden Age one because there's some knowledgeable people on there. Like you can ask like some very detailed questions. And somebody like Eric Larson even replied to one of mine
That's cool.
to my thread on there, and he's like, "Yeah, I love these things, but man, you can't read them; they're so, so small." And yeah, they're pretty tiny. They're pretty
Really?
tiny,
Yeah.
but they, I had people replying back with displays that they had these things in. They were like mystery comics where you'd like have to. You had your mystery Batman in a box characters, which I gotta send you, by the way. You need to send me your address on the IM.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
But
you.
yeah, it was from 1943, these mini comics, and I've never seen one before in my life.
How did they
And
distribute them?
it's Fawcett. They distribute them in this display where they were like miss I think I posted it in some of them came with like this display and they were a nickel a piece where you'd like get them sight unseen. I think they were packaged like in these mystery things and you didn't know which comic you were going to get. Or it was two for a dime or something like that. And they're just what they are is they're essentially reprints. But they're not the full comic. So like Bullet Man is like a reprint of number 3 and it's issued number 11, but it's really 11 of the mini comic. And then it reprinted just the Bullet Man story of number 3. So it didn't do, how all the Golden Age stories have many, many stories in them? It just did the Bullet Man story in it.
Interesting.
Yeah. But that's a side, but it's Fawcett related, so
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm looking at it on in the database now.
It doesn't have it in the debate. Submit it.
Well, it's there now. Did you put the picture in and stuff?
What was it under?
Bullet
Yeah.
Man, parentheses, Samuel Lowe.
Samuel Lowe?
It says that in parentheses, yeah.
I put one in. I don't think it.
Do you have access to your database right now or no?
Bullet Man. Oh, wow. So mine has. I need to delete mine and replace it with this. When did that
Yeah.
show up?
I don't know. 'Cause yeah, it even
Ah.
says 43, like you said, so. Mini comic
Yeah.
from 1943.
But it's $120 in here.
Yeah. Did you get a good deal?
I got a good deal for the grade I got it in.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, so here, I'll tell you about my stories. Excuse me. All right, so the first one is a Marvel family story featuring Captain Marvel and Mary Marvel and Captain Marvel Jr. And Billy's, at the news station doing his broadcast and stuff, and find that and he reads a story saying that the Clayton family has inherited a huge fortune. However, they cannot be found. They're not at their home, and they seem to have, for some reason, disappeared, run away. So the lawyer for the estate comes and says, you know, tells Billy that they need to find this family, and can he get a hold of the Marvel family to search for them? So he gets Mary and Freddie, excuse me, and they all change into their Marvel alter egos, and they split up and go to three different places to get some clues. And what they find out when they come back together is it seems that the family got a boat and sailed off a few months ago. And so they're flying across the sea in the direction that they sailed, and thinking that there's probably not much of a chance to find them. But they said, well, you know, the type of boat that they got, they can't sail all the way across the ocean. Like, they must have, like, landed somewhere. And so they see an island. They're like, well, let's check out this island. And then it cuts to the family actually there, and they're gathering, like, food and stuff like that on this old deserted island. And it's a boy and his mom and dad, the Clayton family. And he shouts, someone's coming, maybe it's the killers. And they go running into a cave. And when the Marvel family get there to try to talk to them, they start throwing coconuts and rocks and everything, saying to leave them alone. And so Captain Marvel thinks that they must be hermits or something. They decided to become hermits. So Captain Marvel, walks in, because of course nothing is hurting him as stuff is hitting him, and he's like, "What's going on?" And they continue to talk about killers, and he said, "Well, you know, we're the Marvel family. We're not killers." And what they explain is that they received a letter in the mail a few months ago, saying that apparently Mr. Clayton had been a witness for in court for a murder trial, and he had gotten in the mail saying a note saying, "You sent our pal to the chair. We're going to get you and your family." Signed, the killers. So they decided to up and run away to this island, and hopefully they can stay alive. They know that they inherited this fortune, but they'd rather be alive than rich and dead. So what they decide, what the Marvel family decides to do, is they say, well, they're not, if they can't come out to their fortune, we'll bring their fortune to them. So they bring them a safe full of money that they have. They bring a bunch of silverware. They bring a vintage car. They bring some beautiful jewelry. They bring a yacht. And they bring a whole castle, brick by brick, that they own, and put it back together on this island. Who owns old stone castles in Fawcett City? I don't know, Mike. But apparently there was an old stone castle owned by the Claytons in the United States here. But so anyhow, this is great. Now we don't have to live in a cave anymore. We have our castle. This is fantastic.
Does it actually look like a castle?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like a medieval castle.
Nice.
Uh-huh. So
they do exist, by the way.
There's not a lot of them, though.
No, but there is a there's a woman, I don't know if she's still alive, Barb would have to tell me, in Albuquerque that we drive by downtown, and she has a castle. Like, it looks like a castle.
Did she bring it over stone by stone?
I don't know if it was stone by stone or she just had it built that way, but I've always driven by it and said, Barb, I would love to tour this thing.
Yeah.
Like, I would just love to look at it.
Should knock on the door. Do they have a moat? Do you have to get over the moat to knock?
I don't know. There might be a moat. I don't think there is, but I would be impressed if there was.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
So as the Clayton family are going to go enjoy their castle, they start getting shot at from the bushes. And there's three men. One is covered with a bandana, and the other two aren't, but they're all shooting. So Captain Marvel knocks out one of them and saves the Clayton family from a falling stone from the castle. However, they think that they chased them away, but what ends up happening is the thieves are over by the beach now where the open safe is still sitting. And they said, oh, like, okay, we can, let's steal this money then. And Mary Marvel and Captain Marvel Jr. are flying by with one of the stone turrets from the castle. They're still putting it together. And they see this happening, and they drop the turret right on them. So the two of them are trapped. The main guy manages to get away with his face masked. And he jumps in their boat, and or in his boat, rather, that he got here. And he starts running, trying to get away. But Captain Marvel stops him, knocks him out, takes off his bandana, and it's their cousin Egbert, the Clayton's cousin Egbert. What they find is that they made up this killer story to throw them off the track. Of course, if Egbert killed the Claytons, he'd be next to get the inheritance. So he was trying to bump off his cousin and family in order to get the money. So that's the end of that one.
The Egbert.
Yeah.
That sounds Egbert, like something out of Dilbert.
I think
there has been an Egbert in Dilbert.
I think so too. Cousin Egbert's in a hermit now in a jail cell, is what Billy Batson says on the radio.
Ah.
And there's just a quick four or six page story of Headline Harry. This is not a Marvel Captain Marvel story. His boss, his editor, drives by in the middle of the night, this shack, and he thinks he sees ghosts. So he tells Headline Harry that if he wants to keep his job, he has to go out there at night and get the story, to get the scoop on what these ghosts are. So Harry
that actually sounds like a Don Knotts movie.
Doesn't it?
No, there is a Don Knotts movie about ghosts. I forget what it's called.
Oh, The Ghost of Mr. Chicken?
But yeah, he's a reporter.
Well, this
he has to go like spend a night in this ghost infested thing
is,
to see
is
what's
really
going
a ghost?
On. No.
Okay.
It's like a Scooby-Doo
episode. Oh, okay. Well, this one he decides that, you know, he's going to dress as a ghost because, you know, ghosts like ghosts, so hopefully he can get through. So, but he can't see a thing. He slips on a bar of soap that's in the middle of the entranceway and slips down the stairs, falls all the way down the stairs into the basement where there are two women washing sheets and clothes. And so they think he's a ghost for a second, but he explains he's just a reporter. And what they say is that their house is too cluttered up. Their houses are too cluttered up. So they come there at night to do their washing. And that was the end of that story. It was a little bit silly, but I enjoyed it. The next one is Mary Marvel. And I'm just going to cover these a little faster so we don't spend all day just on this comic. But Mary Marvel is at the horse races with her stepmom, or actually foster mom, and their butler. And the butler inadvertently bids on a horse auction when he waves to Mary and her foster mom and wins the horse. So now he's expected, they want him to learn how to ride the horse. So he's riding the horse. Some gangsters get the idea that he's planning on entering the horse into a steeplechase. And they think that he looks pretty good. So they have a stake in a different horse to win. So they try to scare the butler off from actually running the race. Now, he had no intention of running the race, but as soon as Mary Marvel find out their plot, she decides to have the butler enter the race. So when the race actually starts, the jockey from the other horse that the gangsters are backing knocks the butler off out, but he doesn't fall off the horse. And of course, the horse ends up winning the race. and Mary Marvel ends up catching the gangsters in their plot, and all is well. And then at the end, that he decided that they said, "Oh, we assumed that now that you're a famous horseman, you're going to be leaving us." And he said, "No, I still want to be your butler." So he's still going to stay. But he didn't enjoy riding the horse at all. And then we have a Captain Marvel Jr. story where we have this is a weird one, Mike. A plumber is very put out about the fact that people keep calling him all the time with nothing but plumbing issues.
I think he's in the wrong occupation.
That's what I'm thinking. So I kind of was thinking too. He's
Like I could see it if it was like a somebody that was managing some apartments or something
sure.
to that effect, and he's like, "Ah, oh, crap, it's plumbing again." But
It,
if
he's
he's
pissed.
actually a plumber and he's like, "Oh, crap."
He's not happy about this at all. It's this. So this big shot, I don't know what if it says what this guy does, but a high society guy, he invites Freddie to come to his big lawn party that he's giving the next day, and so he said okay, and he said, you know what, I got my kitchen sink has a leak, I got to call the plumber so we can get that fixed before tomorrow. So he talks to the plumber. And the plumber says that he'll have it fixed. And then he says to himself, that's all I ever get. Fix that pipe. Stop that leak. I'm sick of it. So he's got some strange little pills that and he has a and he decides on a plot. So the next day he goes and checks up on he fixes the sink, but he says, I'm gonna go check up on your fountain. The water department sent me to check it out. And the high society guy says, okay, no problem, just any desk. He's like, oh, don't worry, I'll take care of stuff. So Freddie Freeman was there late because he didn't get there until late, rather, because he had to finish selling all of his newspapers. And when he got there, everyone is frozen in place with their eyes closed as if they're sleeping, but really they're like standing around, not moving, like statues as well. And he sees one person moving around, and we see that it's the plumber. And he's taking like everyone's wallet, everyone's jewels, all sorts of stuff. So the plumber gets scared because he didn't expect this. Freddy says Captain Marvel, changes himself into Captain Marvel Jr. The plumber knocks over a lady into the fountain. Of course, she's still asleep and frozen. So rather than catch the plumber, he has to rescue the lady from drowning. Now, they send them off to the hospital, the entire lawn party. Nobody can get them to move or to wake up. Now, in the meantime, the plumber has all sorts of riches and find out that this lady's going to have another party outside the next day. So he comes by and talks to the lady, and he's like, oh, he's like, anyone's any stranger here? And she said, no, my guest, but oh, there was a man who came to check on the fountain, but he left. And then she just stops talking and freezes and falls asleep. Everyone else has fallen asleep. Freddie, it's not affecting. Maybe it doesn't explain why, but maybe just because of his abilities. So he's like, I got to check out this fountain. So he smells some sort of like vapor coming from the fountain, and he reaches in, and there's some half-dissolved tablets in there, and he's like, "These must be what's happening." So he said, "I'm going to analyze those in a bit, but let me just hang out because the plumber hasn't come yet." And then the plumber comes, and he manages to knock the plumber out, throw him in the fountain, get him, and they put him in jail. He brings the tablets to the hospital, and the doctor's was able to figure out what like how to counteract them, and everyone was revived, and nobody was permanently hurt or
So
injured.
he hated his job so much he was robbing people.
Yeah, under guise as being a plumber.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have just found a different job.
He should have.
You know? There's a short one about a kid called Captain Kidd. The idea of this one is he likes to brag in front of the ladies. So he basically said that he can do a high dive. You know those things at the circus where they're all way up high on a little platform and dive into a small little pool.
Yeah.
He's, oh, that's not hard. I could do that. So the guy takes him up on the offer. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have my bathing suit. I can't do it. So he's like, oh, I got plenty of trunks here. Put this on. So he makes him go up there, and he's like, oh, I forgot something. He comes all the way back. They're like, what are you doing? He's like, well, I forgot to test the water to see if it's too cold. So they start to say, oh, you're really stalling. So he gets up there. Now he's about to pretend to fake hurt himself so he doesn't have to do the dive. But a woodpecker is literally pecking the platform in half. And as he tries to scoot it away, he hits the platform too hard with his foot, and he comes down all the way down, and he ends up splashing right in the pool. And now everyone just can't believe how brave he is, because not only did he do the dive, but he did it with a sprained ankle. And so apparently this, I don't know, I'm not familiar with this character. Apparently he always ends up smelling good at the end of the story. And then the last one, Mike, is just a Captain Marvel story, and they're going to do a time capsule that will be open in the year 5000.
Yeah.
And basically, the plot is there's a professor that's going to like, actually taking some movie moving pictures to put in regular pictures, as well as all sorts of artifacts that you'd normally find in a time capsule. And there's the business manager of the project as well. And what it turns out is that this project manager is really actually trying to steal all of the stuff, because there's some actually valuable things in there. He's like, this is perfect, because nobody will know for five, you know, for
What's va
over
what's
3,000 years.
what's valuable?
See, what is he taking here? Let me see if I can.
Is there jewels in there or something?
I'm
Like,
trying to see. It doesn't. Oh, here we go. Stamps, coins, and even jewels they're putting in there. So it's like, this is perfect. Nobody's going to find out until the year 5000 that anything happened. But due to, with some help of the professor, they're able to actually foil him time and time again. Captain Marvel actually, like the guy destroys the digging machine to dig the time capsule. So of course Captain Marvel just goes and digs it really fast by himself, so on and so forth. Finally, the business manager guy knocks Billy Batson out when he's there to cover the story before he can say Shazam, and he throws him in the time capsule and says, "Oh, they'll find him and they'll find his bones and." You know, in the year 5000, but he manages to wiggle around enough to break some glass from the stamp container, and breaks and manages to get the cloth covering his mouth, his gag, and he's able to say Shazam, and he busts out of there and takes care of business and knocks out the business manager. So that was all stories in there. I know that was a little long, but it was
It
a lot of fun.
sounds cool. I
There
like the
was
plot. I
these
like
were
the
a
plumber
lot of
one,
good,
and
yeah.
the last one sounds really interesting too.
There were some fun stories, like, you know, I mean.
The Captain Kidd one, while you were talking about it, I could have sworn, like in Who's Who, like there was like a Captain Kidd that came over from Fawcett, and I was trying to find it, but I didn't have much luck Googling.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible, because, like I said, I never really knew of him before, but they make it seem like it's a known
Yeah.
feature, that it wasn't something like one-off that you've never seen before.
But he wasn't a pirate, right?
No, not at all. He's just
Yeah, the one
like
that
a
I'm thinking
teenager,
of.
like, you know, a kid in the 40s, a
Yeah,
teenager.
the one that I'm thinking of is an actual pirate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun.
So
Yeah, I get some more of those.
for me, I had to continue down this X-Men path. So, the last episode I talked about X-Men 36, which I was just blown away at because it was so hilarious. Meccano and I just and them trying to like make money to get on a plane to go save Xavier. I just like loved it. So I wanted to see what actually happened. And this one here didn't have like the same tone to it. It was a little more serious, but I did enjoy what it offered. It was them on the plane, and this group Factor 3 like launched these like egg-shaped anti-aircraft thing at the plane, and they really survived by luck because there was like turbulence on the plane that caused the plane to shift, and the first firing sort of missed the plane, which is like amazing. And then they were like, well, there's this anti-aircraft missiles coming. How are we going to save the plane? Well, they decided to like jump off the plane. I don't know how they. People were panicking. I guess the air masks were falling out and people were hysterical. So they just like jumped out the window, which I guess you can open the hatch and no pressure is going to drag anybody out. They all jump out of the plane with no parachutes. And Cyclops essentially uses his laser to his eye blast to knock out the missiles. But now they're like falling to their deaths. And they're like, well, what can we do to survive? Well, let's hope Warren can free his wings, which are, strapped to the back of his outfit. And he got released, but then they were like, how are they going to save Jean and Iceman? Well, Iceman was essentially made like an ice bridge and saved the rest of them. But they had to get out of the plane. As soon as they land, they're attacked by these Anachroid, like spider-like mechanical creatures, and supposedly there's a little asterisk there that says, "Hey, you've seen these in Spider-Man," which is sort of interesting.
Interesting.
But they attack and they end up fighting the beasts, and they have to hide in this marsh. They're like, "What is this weird fog marsh that's over here?"
Tell Barb, bless you.
Bless you. Yeah, she does that every Sunday
Well,
in
she
every
gotta let everyone
episode.
know she's there.
Yeah, she's like, "I'm here. I'm sneezing. Don't forget about me." But that marsh has like this thing that knocks them all out. So it was sort of like an entrapment. So Factor 3 got them. They hooked them up to this contraption. They said what they're They held him on trial. They basically said for crimes against mutants because they protect humanity over their fellow man, and they're found guilty. So they're gonna sort of mind wipe them and control them. They already have like Professor Xavier and Banshee hooked up to a machine that's sort of mind wiping them, and they say, "Hey, we have this." They do their evil plan thing. We're going to essentially cause a nuclear war, and we're going to have this shield over us to protect the mutants and just let humanity destroy itself. That's essentially Factor 3's plan. And they're teamed up. This is what was interesting. They're teamed up with Mastermind. Well, I've always liked Mastermind. Like he's even appeared fairly recently in Uncanny, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But I don't know why I've always liked him. He's like manipulative and can project images that people
Have
see
you
and
read the
believe.
during the Claremont in Byrne run in the Hellfire Club how he like was manipulating Jean and stuff?
No, I didn't read that
Oh,
yet.
you got to read that part. That was like really well done.
I've always liked him though. Like, and I haven't read maybe some of the best stories with him in it,
Yeah,
but
that was good.
I sort of dug him. And then also the Blob is in it. Eunice the Untouchable, which he looks very unusual. And who's the third one? The third one looks like a freaking plant. Like he looks freaking odd. He's the Vanisher.
Oh, the Vanisher.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He has this green outfit and it looks
Yeah.
like he's got like a flower over his head. I
Side.
don't know.
He's got his little black mask.
Yeah, he just looks odd as hell.
Yeah,
But
he's yeah.
it's those four guys that are working with
He was in the Deadpool movie, wasn't he? He's one of those that got killed.
Yeah, the Vanisher was he the Vanish in this comic book, they don't really show his abilities. They just show him mouthing off at the X-Men, like, you defeated me three times and you're pissing me off kind of thing. But
Gotcha.
did the Vanisher actually have invisibility
Yeah,
powers? Yeah.
basically.
Okay. He is a mutant, I take it.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is a cool comic in the fact that I'm learning a little bit about characters I don't know, like Eunice and the Vanisher. They were in it. It actually had little asterisks, you know, like on the issues that they appeared in previous issues. And what's cool is they're gonna get mind wiped. But Cyclops is show the thing I'm liking about these old X-Men is, I guess I never realized how Hank has always been portrayed as the intellectual. Like, Hank has always used these big words and just seems really intelligent. But I see good, like, leadership skills with Cyclops, and I always thought that I don't know that he wasn't always a great leader. And but I do like later on when people didn't like him leading, where he was making the tough decisions of Shades of Grey to like keep the mutants alive. He even kills Professor X, doesn't he, later?
Yes, he
But
does.
I always find like him fascinating. But anyway, he makes a decision. He's like, we got to get out of this trap. I can't free my visor. So he has Iceman make these like ice crystals over the machine. Jean levitates them over the machine, and they just let them melt. And they short circuit the machine to sort of free themselves so they can fight for another issue. But I really enjoy this stuff. I didn't think I would enjoy X-Men pre-Claremont, but I really am. Like, it makes me want to go read volume one of the omnibus that I have, the X-Men volume one, because I'm just finding him. I'm finding like threads of the characterizations just to be really interesting, and their villains are just so odd
Yeah, they
that
are.
I
That's fine. I
dig.
mean, the ones that you're talking to, I mean, these were ones that were in the first 10 issues
Yeah.
of X-Men, and I mean, they were just coming up with idea after idea. Some of them did well and lasted forever, and some of them didn't last that long, like
Yeah.
Eunice the Untouchable, you know. But it's like, yeah, I mean, it's interesting.
Really enjoying this stuff. I have been buying a lot of X-Men
I've noticed.
lately. Mostly in the Claremont and above era, but I've been buying a few that are in the 12-cent range, and that's where I've been playing. And I think that's going to be my next omnibus, just because I'm enjoying it so much.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I think I'm going to break open that volume one and start where it's all started. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like you are very good at putting yourself into the era that they were created, because if you go in reading those thinking, oh, this is, you know, like not knowing that it's not going to be like Claremont and Byrne, but not, you know, not being able to kind of put yourself in that time frame, you might not appreciate it as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it totally is
I
very
am
different.
totally falling in love with Hank, though. Like, I just love his big ass feet, and that he's not this hairy beast like creature. And I like they play upon his strength a lot more. Do you know what I
Yes,
mean?
they do. Yeah, they do.
Like, he's the strong one of the group.
Yeah. I mean, when you think
And
about it, with those five characters, he was the only one that had any type of, you know, enhanced
yeah,
strength at all,
they
so.
play upon his strength and agility and his big ass feet. Like, Bobby's always making remarks about his big ass feet. And I just like it. I dig it. I'm feeling it, and I'm like, man, this is stuff I never latched on to. Like, I mean, I did latch on to the X-Men, but I would say I'm a go back 15 years and that's when I latched on to them, you know? So like, a lot of the other stuff is sort of new to me.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah. I'm surprised how much I'm enjoying this Silver Age stuff. This
it.
Claremont.
Yeah.
Because
It's
you talk to X-Men fans and it's all Claremont, Claremont, but this stuff, and it's odd too. Like, I understand that I'm gonna hit like I think it's in the 50s or 60s where the reprints start too,
Yeah.
because it wasn't so popular.
Yeah,
So,
like I think issue 67 or 68 is the first one.
yeah.
Yeah, and then you're just basically retreading issues from, I don't remember what it starts. It doesn't even start with number one. They just start reprinting here. I'm looking it up now. 12. This first one that they reprint is number 12 on issue 67.
Yeah.
But if you go up to the 50s and 60s, you get a bunch of Neil Adams art.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So that's why I think that first omnibus, like I'm in this mode right now of older stuff, and I think that is going to be more in my wheelhouse, like in the mood I'm in right now, than Claremont.
Yeah.
So I have to be in the mood for Claremont. But
I'm
we'll
glad
see.
you liked it. It's pretty cool. Okay, well, my next one is I'll talk briefly about Spider-Woman number 15.
Ah, I have a full run of this one.
This is one that, excuse me, I think it was you. It might have been Chris, but I think it was you covered one a couple of years ago. I'm like, oh, I should try to
Think it
get
was
this.
Chris.
Was it Chris?
I'm
I don't
pretty
remember.
sure.
But I went on, I think just Amazon, and it was like secondhand sellers, but I was able to get them, not at inflated prices, but I got the two essentials, the black and
Yeah.
white essentials. So I've been reading, if it's on the app, I read it on the app. And I can see it in color, but there's after like the first 10 issues, there's maybe only like three or four more issues on the app. And so then I read the essentials. So number 15 was out of the essentials book. And what's going on here? Well, first I'll say Mark Gruenwald had taken over the
He's one
scripts.
of my favorite
Me too.
he's one of my favorite writers and one of my favorite editors because I don't know, he had that shooter vibe to me. Like I just dug it.
Yeah, I liked him too. But he took over fairly
The cat the
early
cat
on.
the Cap and the Quasar stuff is amazing. Like that's
Never read the Quasar stuff.
yeah, I just dig his. Oh, but he also wrote Squadron Supreme, and you just reread that, and that's amazing.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, he's good. Like
Yeah.
I love his plot. Like he has so much going on in an issue, and
He really does.
I love how he like puts in little threads that happen like 5 issues later. Like
Yes.
he just builds this complex story. And it truly is like he would do the monthly thing so well because it was like you end at a certain point and you're like, I gotta read the next issue. I gotta end the read the next issue because you had all these threads and you wanted to know more, you know?
Oh yeah. It kept you hooked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so too. That's
So
why, I mean,
he's a
I love that
master.
Captain America run.
Yeah. That's when I started to get into Cap. To tell you the truth, is
Yeah,
around the
me too.
Grenwald, 60 cents, I think they were off of the shelf.
Yep, 60
Yeah.
cents. Yeah, so I mean, he came early on in this run. I don't, who the heck was doing it before from the
Claremont
beginning?
did some, didn't he?
Yeah, Claremont did some, but not until later.
Okay.
I don't remember who was writing this. I'm trying to find the. It's probably on the front. Oh yeah, Marv Wolfman was doing the first few issues.
Yeah, he's no joke either.
No. So and Carmen Infantino was doing the art on these, and I really enjoy his art. So in this one, it's kind of picking up from previous issues, and she's teamed up with. Do you remember the Shroud? He's he's got like a black costume. He can project darkness around him.
Yeah.
I think he might have even
been blind.
Yeah, he's blind. He might have even been in the West Coast Avengers for a short period of time in the 80s.
Yeah.
So she's teaming up with him. What's happening is she finally found a job. She's a receptionist at this it's called the Hatros Institute of Emotional Research or Well-Being or something like that. So, and behind the scenes up to this point, you've already seen that, like, you don't know who the director of the institute is, but for some reason they're interested in Jessica Drew. They know that Jessica Drew is Spider-Woman, and they've approved her to be hired specifically because there's something that they want out of her, but you don't know what at this point. This particular issue kind of has some backstory about the Shroud and how he got his powers but lost his sight from the monks of Kali and in Nepal. And so it just kind of reviews where he came from, and he's now trying to find these cultists that are saying that they're the cult of Kali, because when he was part of this monastery, they weren't – it wasn't like assassins and people trying to kill kill people. So he's trying to get some information about that, and they've had some encounters in the previous issue where these cultists attacked the institute. And they were actually able to, with the Shroud's help, they were actually able to fight them off. But under cover of the dark, they managed to get away. Now, the Shroud did, he did follow them. And so he found out where their headquarters were. So he basically is asking, saying to her, listen, I know you're interested in this cult and what's going on, why they're attacking your institute. So if I help you with that, I need you to help me raid S.H.I.E.L.D. He's trying to get some information about the cult, and he knows that she has some contacts with S.H.I.E.L.D. As a matter of fact, she's currently kind of dating on and off a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who had to go out of town for a mission. And she's kind of been feeling kind of on and off about this guy. So she's not sure that she actually is in love with him. So first thing they do is they go to where they need to contact S.H.I.E.L.D. They go to a restaurant. They ask for a booth in the back. They order a certain thing that lets them know that they're S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, and they take an elevator all the way down. And the Shroud coats everything in darkness so they can get through, and they end up getting the information that they need about what's going on. And the Shroud learns that these particular cultists of Kali have nothing to do with the monastery he came from, and are basically like perverting the name of Kali instead. So he kind of feels better about that, and so he agrees to take her to their hideout, which is in a mausoleum, fittingly enough, and they go down. They find that the cultists of Kali have abducted a man and a woman and are going to do a sacrifice. There's a female leader of the cult that are going to start the sacrifice. When Jessica and the Shroud go in and start fighting, they make a very effective team, and they end up defeating all the cultists except for the leader, who managed to escape during the chaos. And they rescue the two people that were kidnapped, and it turned out to be her boyfriend, the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, and his female partner. So because they've been having a tough time in relationship, as a relationship, She says, okay, you know what? They're S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. They can take care of themselves. We're going to tie up these cultists. And, you know, these two agents, they're fine. Let's get out of here before they wake up. She doesn't want her boyfriend to know that she's rescued him because it's not for the first time. And he's kind of feeling bitter about that. So they take off. The Shroud says, okay, I'm going to, you know, move on. And so now Jessica's kind of by herself. And then it just cuts at the end to this the leader of the cult, who, no surprise, is also the leader of the institute in which Jessica works for. And it turns out to be a woman named Necra, Priestess of Darkness. And so that's where it's going to pick up. Next issue, it looks like she finally has a face off with the main villain of this arc. So it was pretty good. I've been enjoying the Grunewald stuff a lot, and I know I'll be enjoying it as it goes forward with the Claremont run. I'm looking forward to that. So this first volume is up to issue 25, and then the second one is, I think, 25 to the end.
Yeah, you make me want to go look in that uninventoried closet because I'm pretty sure I have this run, but I don't have it marked in.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's.
I need to inventory that closet. I really do, because
Yeah.
I could end up buying dupes if I'm not careful.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So, man, I want to go do that. I just want a weekend where I could go do that. It'll take me probably an 8 hours to do,
Yeah.
but I need 8 to 10 hours.
Seriously, I wish that we lived close enough, because I would volunteer to go over there just to go through everything. I'd organize it and put it in the database.
Yeah, I could use help. So my next one also piggybacks off of last episode because I really wanted to know why Reed and Sue were separated, and why she took Franklin off on this road trip away from Reed. But unfortunately, I didn't go far back enough. I just randomly said, if I go back this far, I'll probably be far back enough, and I wasn't. It's still playing with that thread. I picked Fantastic Four 135, which was a really good issue. Plus, it has Medusa. Medusa's a regular member of the FF because Sue is gone. But this guy called Gregory Gideon, who I think is pretty interesting. Like, I could see them bringing this guy back because he's, I don't know, he just has a fascinating backstory to me. He has an origin story of he was a rich man and has always hated the FF. So like early in his career, he tried to do stuff to them to take away the Baxter Building and to do stuff just because he had this unlike he just didn't like them. And then later in life, he's on a plane with his family and they just happen to fly over some nuclear testing on an island where they're actually doing nuke testing. And it kills most of his family except for him and his son, but they're dying of radiation poisoning. But he eventually makes this suit that can absorb powers and such. And he forms this evil organization and captures Reed Richards and Sue. And also Medusa and the Thing. And all that's left is the Torch. And the Torch at this point in time has that red uniform, which I always thought was weird because it didn't match the others. But I liked it because it was different. I didn't read a lot about it, but I remember finding some of these issues at the garbage dump. And it's like, why does he have this red uniform? He gets captured by Dragon Man, and Dragon Man plays a big part in the Future Foundation. You know, he's an android, but Gideon found of a way to control him and is abusive towards this robot. And at this time, I didn't know that Dragon Man had a thing for Sue Storm. Like, I don't
Oh,
know
I
if he
didn't know that.
felt sympathetic towards her or if he liked her or what. But he found out that Gideon was, well, first he captures the Torch. So now he's got the entire Fantastic Four Sue's not really a member, but he's got her. I don't know where the hell Franklin is. He might be in captured as well because he shows up later. But they don't show him in like a tube or anything. And Medusa, who is a legitimate member of Fantastic Four, so they're all captured. He has them all, and he turns off Dragon Man because Dragon Man came back and he saw Sue, and he started to go ballistic against his programming and start to attack Gideon's people. So he pretty much shuts him off. Turns off the control button. And they're all trapped. Medusa and Torch come up with this plan so they can escape, and they do escape. And Thing fights Gideon because Gideon's pretty strong. He says, "I have." The interesting thing is he's going toe to toe with the Thing, and he says, "Well, I have the power of Invisible Girl and Reed, but he has the strength of the Hulk." I don't understand, but I'm. Sue's pretty powerful, like if you come to think of it. She's probably one of the most powerful. At some point in the FF books, they say she's the most powerful one of all of them.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't early on, they didn't write her that way, but
Right.
there's no doubt with that power set that she absolutely.
But anyways, going toe to toe with the Thing, and they eventually defeat Gideon through Dragon Man. I think it's Medusa's idea or somebody's idea to turn back on Dragon Man, and Dragon Man goes and sort of gets the backhand on his men and people, and so the Fantastic Four win. Reed's still knocked out unconscious in this book, which is really weird. But Sue wakes up and she says, "Don't tell Reed, but I need to leave again with Franklin." So the mystery still is.
You don't know what's going
I
on.
still don't know why. I just know it's probably Reed being stupid and Sue just saying, "The hell with it. I need to take our son away from this nonsense."
Yeah. Did you like this issue?
Yeah, I did. It was
Yeah.
quite enjoyable. I've always liked Dragon Man, and it was pretty cool to see him cut loose. And Medusa, that's my sweet spot with the Inhumans, and seeing her as a
Yeah.
member of the FF is pretty awesome. So yeah, Fantastic Four
Well,
135.
you know what's funny is that I don't have a lot of issues around there, but I own that solo issue, that 135, out in the middle of an island. Like, I don't have anything a good 20
Around it,
issues,
yeah.
yeah, prior or after, but I have 135.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I have it. I read it on the app. Because I just randomly one night said, "I'd like to continue with this, and but I want to know what's happening with Reed and Sue." And I didn't go far back enough.
Yeah. When I first got the app, I said, "Oh, I'm going to start reading Fantastic Four from the very beginning." And I think I might have gotten like 10 issues or something like
Didn't
that.
get very far.
And I haven't gone any farther than that. It's not something that I'm not going to keep doing, but it's like I thought it was going to be more regular for me than it ended up being. I've only done 10 issues and, going on a year and a half.
Yeah, I don't have it, so it's one that I need for sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You have the first Galactus and Silver Surfer, don't you?
Yeah.
I thought so. There's one that back
I have
years
Black
ago that
Panther
I
too.
kept thinking about getting, but I just never ended up getting. I've got the Black Panther ones, the 52 and 53. They're not in the best shape, but I mean, I got him several years ago before he was hot, which is
I
good.
got Black Panther when Christopher Priest was writing the Marvel Knights one because I
I
just
think I did too.
I was like, I love this series so much that I said I need to have every Black Panther. And I succeeded in doing that. I bought the original Kirby Black Panther issues, and I have all Black Panther that's Black Panther titled, but what I'm missing is Jungle Action. And that has some key appearances in it too, so I have a way to go with Black Panther still. And he is one of those characters, like we talk about physical media and cutbacks and stuff, and he's one that I'll always get just because I love him. Like, He's in the Daredevil and the Pantheon of, you know, they'll never be touched as long as I'm alive and can afford it.
Yeah. How many do you have a lot of junk collection you still need to get or no?
I have like, I have the later issues, but mm-hmm. I'm missing the early issues. And one of them has this really iconic cover.
Was he in all of them or did he not show up until later?
No, he's not until later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I think the first Man-Ape is in there somewhere. Uh-huh. One of them was going for a pretty penny around the movie time. So I have four is not Black Panther. Five is Black Panther. I do have that one. And
number six went up in price.
I'm missing six. Six is the
first Killmonger.
First Killmonger. I'm missing that one.
There probably was a $30 book until then.
The one I really want, this one I had as a kid, and I don't know what happened to it. It's number 23. And there's just something about this cover that I just loved as a kid.
I see.
And, I just...
Oh. That's a cool cover.
Yeah. Somebody made a t-shirt of it because I was
Totally see that.
Yeah. And I want that one. I actually have a cover. I have a couple of Black Panther t-shirts. But he like dealt with like some of the KKK in these issues. Like they wore red hoods in this case.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just want to. I need to get into these. Plus, that's it's cool. Don McGregor, and you know, I don't know if you figured out lately, but I've been on this Zorro kick.
Oh, yeah.
Don
I've heard,
McGregor
yeah.
has written that Zorro Top series, and I can't tell you how much I love it. Like, I adore it. Like, it's on a pedestal. And a lot of these jungle actions are Don McGregor. So it's like, I want them. I really do. You don't see them too much at cons. Like, you might see the Killmonger one in the first few, but you don't really see the rest of them.
Those are the tough ones to get because, I mean, that one, but, like, I'm even thinking, like, more recent comics. Like, I want to get like, a whole run of Sensational She-Hulk. Like, you don't just see, like, a bunch of issues of Sensational. But, yeah, they're not – like, I could go online and buy them all, like – individually, but I don't want to spend a ton of money.
Yeah.
Because if I do find them, you can typically get them cheap. But it's just the fact that nobody's bringing those to cons.
Yeah. I just recently completed all the Burn issues of that run. But I'm not done with the run yet. I still have more to buy. You know what I mean? They're not all Burn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to get all the Dazzler, the entire run of Dazzler, too.
I do have a full run of Dazzler. That's the other action figure I have at work. Dazzler.
I've got Dazzler, the Disco Dazzler.
Yeah, it's awesome. And, the roller skates and stuff.
Uh huh. Yep.
That was amazing. I just dig that figure.
Yeah, me too. That's what you need to. If you don't own it yet, yeah, you should. Do you have the first appearance in the X-Men?
Yes, I do have the pretty, Dazzler.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that's an awesome cover. This, I love that cover.
I wonder if this one is in the closet too. No, this one I've inventoried. I have all 42 issues of Dazzler.
Nice.
I also have her. she had a Marvel graphic novel.
Yes, I read it digitally.
It's the Dazzler the movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have
I don't
that.
Own that one, but I read it.
It's amazing that this title was so it's so weird, but it's written so well that it's intriguing.
Dazzler itself?
Yeah.
I've read nothing yet.
Well, it has one of my this guy's one of my favorite writers of all time, Tom DeFalco.
Like, oh yeah.
He has that same mythology of Grenwald, what I call is the three-plot course, where he mm-hmm. has one in the middle, one in the end, and one in the beginning. He does that thread, and that's why I love his writing. Like, Tom DeFalco. If you ever – in another series that he wrote that's amazing is Spider-Girl, if you've ever read that.
Oh, okay. No, I've never – I don't even own it.
Oh, my God, it's awesome. He wrote a ton of Spider-Girl,
I'll
and
have to
with
check that
Ron
out.
Frenz artwork, and Ron Frenz is one of my favorite artists. Like, he's drawing for a company that only is digital now. I guess they can order print, but it's like one of those expensive things. I forgot what they're called. They're like Sit Comics. I don't know if you've seen them on Twitter,
No.
but that's it's the guy who made the company writes sitcoms, so he made that's what the sit comes in. But he Ron Frenz is working for him now, and I've been tempted to try to get issues, but I don't want to get them if they're digital. I
Yeah,
just don't
no.
want.
But back to Dazzler for a second. I just find it like if you would ask like a random person, like somebody that doesn't know a ton about comic books but knows comic book characters, you would say which one of the which X-Men character got their own solo series first? I don't think a lot of people would say Dazzler.
Yeah.
It's just weird. Like when you think about it, like Wolverine? No. Dazzler in like the 80s.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that.
No. It's weird.
But she is pretty awesome. Matter of fact,
I've always been a fan.
if you didn't know this, she's in the movie, the new one.
Oh, is she?
Very briefly, but
Oh, okay. I haven't
it's
I haven't
worth
seen
it.
it yet.
Just I don't know. I'm pretty simplistic when it comes to movies. You just show me one thing that I like, and I'm like, oh, I'm satisfied. I
Yeah,
like the new movie.
I'll wait for it to come in streaming and I'll watch it for sure.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Martin's there too. Martin enjoyed it as well.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it got terrible reviews, but whatever. I'll when it comes out, I'll comes
You'll
out,
get. When
at
it
home
comes
I'll
out,
watch
you'll
it.
give it that standard seven.
I'll give
That's
it a
what they'll do.
seven.
You give it a seven.
Yeah. I'll make sure I'll tag Martin on my review
Yeah.
and give it a
Give it
seven.
a seven. What else you got?
I got so the only other thing I'll cover real quickly, and I'm just gonna kind of gloss it over because, like I said, the story's not done. This morning I did read the Marvel Fanfare 10, 11, and 12, that talks about Black Widow. So we've got George Perez drawing it, and it's just I mean it looks beautiful, and that's what caught my eye. Like I said, from my calendar, it had number 12 on one of the days. I'm like, oh, I gotta check this out.
I didn't know that there was a Marvel calendar that had covers this year. Because I usually get mine from Asgard Press.
Was a ball calendar desk one,
Oh,
Jerry.
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes, like I said, it was a maybe a trivia question, might just show a quick panel from one of the comics, might just highlight an actual character. Or sometimes it just, without any words, it might just show you a random cover.
I love the cover ones. I used to get the Marvel ones, but they stopped putting them out for whatever reason. But I have six of them in my office of all DC.
Oh, you have that many?
I buy a matter of fact, I bought all the calendars again when they solicited the 2020 already.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's a lot of calendars.
It is, but they're nice because you could cut a they all make posters of cover
Yes.
images, so
Yeah.
I dig them. As a matter of fact, they have the perforation on it already, so you could
Yeah,
just.
I've gotten a few of those before.
Yeah,
Those are
they're
nice.
amazing.
I've got one this year. It is a DC one. I think it's just a random like it's not just Golden Age covers, but it's like it's not a theme of a certain character, basically. It's got all different characters. Like right now I think it's an Aquaman cover for June.
Yeah. A lot of the covers are so expensive, but it does cause me to, if I see a striking cover, to go to eBay, like as I flip the calendar and say, can I afford this?
Yeah, exactly. Well, so I read this. I'm just gonna go through it quickly. My voice is starting to bother me, but
Yeah.
so basically what's going on here is Shield wants needs to find out what's going on with a scientist that had came from Russia and defected to the United States. His name's Ivan Petrovich, I think it was. And somebody in the SHIELD organization that's been appointed by the president wants to task Natasha on the Black Widow for this. Colonel Fury didn't want that to happen because it goes into Natasha's backstory, and apparently this Ivan Petrovich had been the one that actually had saved Natasha as a young child from a burning building. And it said it was during World War II, which is a little odd, and that this comic came out in like 83, which World War II, she wasn't an infant. She was probably like 3 or 4, would have made her over 40 years old, even in 1983, which I don't think anyone thinks that she's that old, you know.
Yeah.
So that was a little, I'm surprised that they did that. I would have thought that maybe like it was her mom that they saved or something, you know. But anyhow, that's beside the point. So Nick Fury thinks that she's a little too close to this, but he's kind of overruled because this other guy, although he reports to Nick Fury, has been charged by the President of the United States to get this done. So they bring Natasha in. They kind of go through her backstory, how she basically was raised by the Soviet state, ended up becoming a spy, and how like she originally tried to steal secrets from Tony Stark and had encountered Hawkeye and kind of flipped, decided to defect to the United States. But then a couple other times she ended up working for the Russians, mostly the last time through brainwashing, and then finally was able to shake that off 100%. And since then, you know, it's obviously been on the Avengers and everything else. So
Daredevil's girlfriend.
Daredevil's girlfriend, Hawkeye's love interest earlier, previous to that. And
she shared the title with them for a while.
Yeah, those were some good issues too. Mm-hmm. So she's going to go there. She goes to Russia to see if Ivan has defected back, or if he was basically kidnapped and made to go over there. And she very quickly ends up being discovered that she's not who she says she is, because she's going, there under a cover. And what it turns out is somebody wants to get a hold of her. They've actually, this whole thing was like, has been an elaborate plot to entice her and get SHIELD to bring her back to Russia. And there's six assassins who a mystery person has tasked to capture but not kill the Black Widow. And by the last issue, in issue 12, she's been captured. She's surrounded by all six of these people. And these are like a wide range of of assassins. You have an Asian female assassin. You have like a typical like big game hunter type guy. You have a woman whose theme is like she's like a cowgirl with like a lasso and stuff. You have a man from Africa who holds a high tech spear, and then you have an ex sumo wrestler who's now an assassin, and then you have a woman from Russia who's all in armor that she's lived under Black Widow's shadow the whole time they were both spies, and she's called the Iron Maiden. So during the fight, they all end up being defeated by Black Widow. Even though she'd been tied up, she kind of defeats them all except for the Iron Maiden. And then they go head-to-head. And I think this guy appears more recent, like in the 2000s. James Wu, he's a SHIELD agent here in Hong Kong. And he teams up
He's an agent of Atlas.
He is, right, now?
Yeah.
Back then it said that he was in the division of SHIELD in Hong Kong. And so he starts helping her escape, but the Iron Maiden comes after her, and and ends up knocking. She doesn't knock them both out. They end up defeating Iron Maiden by blasting. They can't get through her armor, like her widow's stings can't get through the armor. So she ends up. They end up concentrating their fire. They're in the sewers and concentrate the fire to just underneath her, and it creates like a whirlpool that's she's caught up in, and she just go basically goes down the drain. So not sure if she's alive or not, but all the lights go out under there. They don't have access to their flashlights, and they're both knocked out. And this woman named Snapdragon, who she's on that cover in issue 13, Mike, that you were saying you like that cover. Yeah, so that's Snapdragon, and so she ends up defeating, at the end of this issue, ends up defeating Black Widow, and it goes from there. Like I said, I read all three of these this morning, and I was surprised. I'm like, this doesn't feel like it's going to wrap up by the end of this issue. And sure enough, it did not wrap up. So I'm going to have to get a hold of issue 13 at some point so I can finish the story. But it was fun reading this. But I mean, I just love George Perez's art, and I love the cover to both issue 12 and 10. I really, really like. I like 11 too, but I just like how those 10 and 12 in particular really look.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, so I'm gonna have to pick up 13 on another order, either if I do another Atomic Avenue order, or if I do a My Comic Shop.
When you did the Atomic Avenue, did you go to the same vendor or what?
The same guy had
Yeah.
all three. And I didn't check
Some
any
of those
further,
guys
so.
have, like, if you spend X, I'll give you free shipping or something like that.
Yeah, and I actually looked to see if there was anything else that I might have wanted from him. But it was, I think his free shipping was a lot more. I think he was doing $75, and I'm like, I'm spending $7. So yeah, I guess I'll pay for the shipping, and that'll be fine. It was still a lot, like I said, a lot cheaper than most of them from eBay. Yeah.
Well, my last one is Super Villain Team Up, number
Ooh,
two and
nice.
three. Have you read these?
I have very few of these, but I say nice because the Shroud's first appearance was in like 5 through 12. He kept showing up,
Ah.
so it's just after what you read here. But there's very few of these issues that I have.
I have almost a full run now. I am lacking 15 and 17 or something like that. But I read two and three, and a matter of fact, I just picked them up this week, and it is pretty entertaining. It had two different writers. Number one and two is written by Tony Isabella, the creator of Black Panther. I mean Black Lightning,
Black
sorry.
Lightning, yep.
And I and then the third one is written by Jim Shooter. And I really liked what I wonder why they changed writers. Like one and two was Isabella, and then three was Shooter. I really wanted to see how Isabella was going to handle the cliffhanger on number two,
Huh.
because it. I've never seen Namor look so angry, but I just wanted to see him cut loose, and he didn't really cut loose, but he was sort of depowered. But you have these villains. It's weird because it's villains against villains, but you have three characters. One of them I don't know who it is, but he seemed to be the leader. Dr. Dorcas, Atuma, and Tiger Shark. They
Oh, okay.
all—they've all taken over Hydro Base, and they've captured Submariner. And I didn't know there was a love interest of Namor's called Betty Dean. She looks like she was a human, but somehow turned amphibian. And I don't know how that happened. I would like to go figure that out at
Yeah,
some
I have no
point.
idea.
They capture Submariner, and they keep him on the in this room that sort of keeps him dehydrated. So he can't power up. And matter of fact, Tiger Shark goes in there and he has to like leave almost immediately because he doesn't want to lose his abilities. But Doctor Doom is really interesting in this because he wants Namor to be on his side. Like he thinks they can conquer the world together, and he needs Namor's power in his army, essentially. So he's like, how can I win favor for him? Well, I'm going to save Prince Namor from this situation. And he, Doctor Doom is just badass. He like is always like 3 steps ahead of everybody. Like even the Fantastic Four, it seems like most of the time. I think his arrogance is what leads him to defeat. Like he's just too arrogant. I think if I think he'd win more if he was just more sensible with his abilities and but he thinks he's the greatest thing on the planet.
Yeah, I agree.
But he decides to go. He teams up with this Betty character to infiltrate Hydra Base and free Namor. And in the process of the fighting, Betty gets shot by that doctor and by a laser gun and dies. And at the end of issue two, there's just this panel of Namor holding her body, and he just looks like, I am gonna kick some serious ass. Like you got, and Namor is like the most interesting when. Who drew this? Because I've never seen Namor look so pissed off in a face. Sal Buscema, the expression on his face is like, and he's chained up at this time still. He's still captured, but he's holding her dead body and he's looking at those guys like, I am gonna kill every one of you guys. It looks so damn awesome that I had to read number three.
Are
But
these all on digital or no?
I didn't even check. I read these ones in print.
Oh, okay.
And the next one I like too because you get two strong personalities like Namor and Doom together, and it makes for a very interesting team up. Because they are so strong-willed individuals that even Doctor Doom is so much smarter than Namor, so you think he could like manipulate him to do whatever he wants. But
Yeah.
Namor is so thick-skinned, like he, it is hard for him to like predict what Namor's gonna do. Like he even tries in this issue to predict, oh, I'm gonna set this plan up. To reclaim Hydro Base and defeat these guys, and Namor just play your part. Namor's like, screw this, I ain't gonna play your part. But then he convinces him to, and then Namor plays his part up to a point, and he doesn't follow all of Doom's plan. But they end up defeating those three, and it's interesting because Doom, he doesn't care if he kills these people, but Namor's at this time. Doesn't want to kill those thing, you know,
Right.
people villains, which I think is very odd. A matter of fact, Namor does kill. There is this one goofy Atlantean that is kind of like a jester that was making fun of Doom earlier, and Doom at the end of this issue he just killed him, and like he and Namor is like Doom, you he was harmless. That was a murder. And he and Doom says, I'm in no mood to be lectured, Namor. Your value judgments interest me not. I do not I do as I choose and answer to no one. I just love this banter between the two of them. This is probably one of my most surprised gems. Like, I love these two together. Like, you couldn't put two stronger FF villains together and make, I don't know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Because they are so, they're so much alike but so different.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Like later on, I noticed that a couple of the issues, it goes into like Doctor Doom and Red Skull. I cannot even
Yeah.
imagine how those two would be with each other.
Yeah. I definitely, if it is on. I don't know where my number one is, so I if it is on Marvel Unlimited, I'm gonna go read number one and see how they got to this point.
Yeah, definitely.
And I did pick up a few issues that have the rare 30-cent stamp on them that if you look at our database,
Yeah.
they have that weird. I did some research on it, and some of them were just released like to New York.
Oh,
So,
really?
yeah. I didn't realize what the thing was on these because they look like weird European stamps, but they
Oh, I see that. Like, especially like number six. They're saying $72 in the thing there.
So I have that number six in the
Wow.
expensive one, yeah. So a matter of fact, somebody just went into the shop. I bought this from a collection. They weren't in the best shape. They were like VG to fine. Some of them were good shape. Some of them were more in the lower VG side. But I just decided to get them and read them because I wanted to. I've always wanted to read this title, and it did not disappoint.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So I think that's all I have. I'll let you get some honey and lemon or something in your throat.
I'm starting to sneeze now too, but I'm muting.
Yeah. Well, that's Barb every weekend, so don't worry. You're fine.
Thank you. Oh man. I hate summer colds. I don't know about you. Whew.
It's rough 'cause it's hot
Yeah.
outside, yeah.
Not fun.
All right, well, I hope you get better. I hope
Thank
you
you.
don't, if you go to work,
Yeah, I should
you
be
might
fine.
take the day off or
I'm guessing today will be the worst of the feeling. I think tomorrow will probably be a little bit better. But if I am feeling worse tomorrow, if nothing else, I can work from home.
Well, thanks for braving the storm and we're able to record an
Absolutely.
episode.
Yeah, it was fun. It's always fun.
Yeah. All right, take care, my friend, and you can reach Rob at Rob Krieger at the Twitter. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter, and we're located at Geek Brunch Podcast, and the site is back up. We were down for a couple days, but
Yes.
we are back up, and you can reach us there or on Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. And we'll talk to you again soon, and I'll talk to you later. I hope you feel better.
Thanks,
I'll
Mike. I'll talk to you
check on
soon.
you. I'll check on you at the week and see if you're rating any movie 7 out of 10. That
Yes,
means you're healthy.
I'll let you know.
All right, take care.
See ya.
Bye.